Hello and good afternoon. It's Paul D'Souza from Sightline Wealth Management. And today I'm speaking with Mark Halpern from wealthinsurance.com. As you know, Sightline has an open architecture, holistic wealth management platform where we collaborate with portfolio managers and professionals in their respective fields in order to bring best-in-class service to our clients. So Mark, it's very nice to be speaking with you today. How have you been?
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here. Good. Yeah. The world's, it's been a little crazy for the last few months, but we are well and hunkered down and trying to help as many of our clients as possible during this difficult time.
Excellent. Good to hear. Now, for the benefit of listeners, maybe provide a bit of your background and some of the individuals that you work with.
Absolutely. So I'm almost 30 years in professional practice. We work primarily with business owners, entrepreneurs, incorporated professionals, and wealthy families. And we really work in three different areas. One area we work in is in estate planning. So that would be, you know, looking at things from 30,000 feet, you know, from wills to structures and insurance and benefits. And really, it's more of a diagnostic approach. So it's kind of like, you know, you can't go to a doctor and get a prescription without a diagnostic. So we like to do that for people, either as first or second opinions. The second area that we get involved with is in tax minimization. You know, we're in a very, very highly taxed time, and we help our clients keep their taxes for themselves or for charities that they might be passionate about. And the third area that we're involved with is in philanthropy. So we help people create legacies, and we do that primarily by converting taxes into charity. And there's no cookie cutter. My real background, just so you know, was 40, over 47 years ago when my late father died of a heart attack at the age of 50. I was 11 years of age, and I was the youngest of four boys, and my mother had to go back to support our family. Why? Because he was a busy engineer, and unfortunately didn't have a will and didn't have any much savings in place and didn't have any insurance. So it was pretty tough for us. And fast forward, I just meet clients who are also very busy looking after everything else and everyone else. And when it comes to themselves, they don't have things organized. So that's really what we do. We help people organize and get their incompletions done.
Oh, excellent. That's a good summary. And for our listeners, Mark and I will be hosting a series of conversations. And so some of the topics here we'll have on a surface level. And then as the weeks go on, we'll get into each into a little bit more detail. So given COVID-19, how have you been managing?
Well, it took us all by surprise. And it's interesting. My end is taking a global plague to get people's attention that, you know, they're going to die or get sick one day. And I've been trying to convince them of that for the last 30 years, but not a lot of people are listening. So I think people got a big wake-up call. And as a result, while they've been hunkered down, they've also looked at their incompletions. You know, do they have wills? Do they have powers of attorney up to date? Is there a list of where all their stuff is? And as a result, we've been extremely, extremely busy. People have been responding to a lot of our wisdom and knowledge that we've been distributing. But one of the areas where it's been really impactful is that the insurance companies have relaxed the underwriting requirements to get insurance. So right now we're able to get insurance for people up to $2 million of life insurance, anytime, term or permanent, without a medical, with no in-person meeting, with no blood and urine. And it's all done on the phone in 15 minutes, and these policies are issued within 72 hours. So that's been very exciting, and people have been taking advantage of that to top up their estates. Perhaps they were counting on their investment returns or interest rates, or to get insurance coverage on spouses or children, and even on grandchildren. And we've also been doing a lot of that for charitable purposes as well. So it's kind of, there's never been an easier time to get insurance, and that's really what's been keeping us busy.
Now, is there a requirement for a medical once the social distancing quarantine rules are relaxed?
Well, the industry has gone towards a non-face-to-face process the last couple of years, but for small amounts, and people generally have to be, you know, healthy non-smokers. So there has been some of that. I think that these relaxed underwriting, I understand, is going to be coming to an end in July. I think they gave us a date of July the 6th. But, you know, okay. I think that there'll be some opportunities after that. But if people are interested, this is definitely the time to be considering it.
Okay, excellent. So in terms of three areas of work in estate planning, tax, and philanthropy, what are some of the strategies that you could provide, maybe one or two for the listeners?
Yeah, I think one area that I think is particularly, let's talk about the tax. You know, it's one thing to make money, but it's another thing to, what do you have at the end of the day? That's if you're a businessman or you're an investor, you know, there are fees, there are taxes. So really, what's your net? And we know that in Canada right now, if you're earning over $220,000, you're taxed at 53%. You know, if you have a corporation and you've got passive income, that's taxed at over 50%. And then getting it out is another 47%. And then if you have RSPs or RIFs and you take money out, you know, that's also taxed at 53%. So it's not about, you know, people can be sitting there saying, hey, I've got $30 million, but at the end of the day, their $30 million is only worth 20. So one thing that we find is that people know what insurance is, but they don't properly understand what it does. But they do know something called a TFSA. And right now, Paul, TFSAs, there are more TFSAs in Canada than RSPs. So it's actually moved over to the TFSA side. And why do people like TFSAs? Because your money grows tax-free. And what's the only downside of a TFSA? Well, you can only put in $6,000 a year. So I explained that if you were a business owner and I could show a business owner how they could have a TFSA for their business with no ceiling, meaning they could put in as much money as they wanted, where the money grew tax-free, and they could access it tax-free and pass it along virtually tax-free, I'm sure most business owners and even individuals would say, let me have some of that. Well, that's really how tax-exempt life insurance works. Certainly in a corporate world, like corporate-owned life insurance, that's what life insurance, it can be owned by a company where your assets are protected, where you can get them out tax efficiently and move them to family tax efficiently. So I call this the unlimited TFSA, and it's really just how insurance works. So that would be one idea that I really like.
And on estate planning?
On the estate planning, certainly look at, and the estate planning that when people started their lives, they had a certain financial architecture. And as a result, they had certain furniture that fit that architecture. Fast forward, that architecture is so vastly different than when they started. The question is the furniture still up to date? So I think that really people should be looking at getting a second opinion on their estate planning. For instance, you know, does their will need to be updated? Only 40% of Canadians have a will, and of those, 80% apparently are not up to date. Right? Was it done by a professional or was it more of a generalist? Do you have a primary and secondary will? Do you have any children that might have handicaps where trusts, hints and trusts might be necessary? And then also just on the life insurance, you know, people think that, you know, life insurance, when they purchased it, it was kind of a bit of a grudge purchase, like their car or their house insurance. It was a cost. It was an expense. But wealthy people realize that insurance is an asset, and it can be something that actually enhances your estate worth and is a very effective tool for handling estate taxes and getting money out of your estate to beneficiaries that you'd like to get to on a tax-efficient basis. So I would suggest that it's really about getting a second opinion or a first opinion even on some of that planning, and I think that's where the estate portion would be very advantageous during this COVID time.
Excellent. And I know in the philanthropy area, I know that you've come up with quite a catchy tag name called the CPP Philanthropy. I wonder if you could share what the what that's all about.
Well, I'm going to, we can talk about that, CPP philanthropy, we can talk about it, but I'm going to suggest something else with regard to CPP. Once you turn 65 in Canada, you're entitled to receive CPP. OAS is clawed back based on income. But it works out for a couple to about $26,000 a year. And you're fully taxed on that. And what happens is you just reinvest it, you're taxed again, and you reinvest it and it gets taxed again. So we created a strategy where if you're a philanthropic individual, you could take that $26,000 and get about a $1.5 million joint last to die insurance policy on a 65-year-old couple. If the policy is owned by a charity, then the $26,000 that you get from CPP is considered a charitable donation. So it's a neutral tax event, and you've now created a $1.5 million legacy for your family. Alternatively, you could pay the tax on the CPP, still use the money to buy the $1.5 million insurance policy, and instead make the charity the beneficiary of the $1.5 million policy. Now your estate will save $750,000 of tax thanks to the CPP. Or alternatively, the last one is get the CPP, get the $1.5 million insurance policy, and make your children the beneficiary of that policy, and perhaps donate your registered money, which would be taxed at 54%. This way your registered money goes to charity, there's no tax, and your kids got about 50% more money, and you created a beautiful legacy for your family. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about the grandparents' pension plan for their grandchildren that I'd love to talk about next time we speak.
No, certainly. So in terms of looking to the horizon, what does the future look like in the insurance industry and in terms of tax philanthropy and estate planning? I know it's a loaded question.
I'll give you sort of future attractions in my, you know, humble opinion. The government has been printing money, right? And you can't always, you got to pay the piper at some point, which means we're going to have to pay it back somehow. So as a result, you're going to see for sure an increase of taxes. Certainly in the one percenters, but you'll see it in the middle class as well. But you'll see an increase of taxation. You're going to see a situation where there'll possibly be new taxes, such as an increase in the capital gains tax from 50% to 75%. We've been hearing about that for years. Now it's going to happen. You'll see things perhaps an inheritance tax. You know, we don't have an inheritance tax in Canada. Or even a wealth tax, the idea that, you know, you make money during the year, you have to give a percentage of it back to the government, or perhaps even taxing principal residences, which right now are tax-free when you sell them. So they're going to have to come up with money. And as a result, people have to be wary of that now and start doing things to protect some of their wealth. That's where tax-exempt insurance can be used now, before all of those changes come about, to actually preserve estates. And the reason I bring that up is because often when things are introduced, there's something called grandfathering. So whatever you put into place already is grandfathered. And I also see on the insurance side, you're going to see rates go up for insurance because of more payouts and less investment returns for insurance company and administrative costs. So you'll see those rates go up. I know one of the major carriers increased their rates by 26% just a few months ago before COVID actually came about. And you'll also see it'll be harder for us to get insurance. There'll be more underwriting potentially, not just on our health, but just even on our finances and on our, you know, that's going to be a big area, or on our international travel. If we ever get back onto planes again, that will also have an impact, or lifestyle. So I'd say the best time to take care of this planning is clearly while the sun is shining. And hopefully we're going to get out of this and we're going to get to the other side. But it really does merit having people sit down and spend some time with a professional going through this. And we love working with Sightlines. We'd love to be able to help your clients in collaboration to make sure that their situations are looked after from top to bottom.
Oh, terrific. There's a lot of great points in there. In terms of specific takeaway strategies as a wrap up the call, anything come to mind?
Well, I think that we have to go from a position of offense to defense. I think we've lived in a very good period of time for the last 30, 40 years where everybody's been accumulating assets and investing, but they haven't really spent a lot of time on the defense side of it. And once you hit sort of age 50, 55, 60, your mindset goes from accumulation to preservation. So preservation is number one. Number two is we look at maximizing income. So our investments have to maximize our income in case we're no longer working. And the last area that we have to look at is tax efficiency. As I mentioned earlier on, it's what you keep, not what you make. So I think that would be really a very big takeaway. I'd say another takeaway is taking advantage of these relaxed underwriting requirements. people should be looking at getting $2 million of permanent insurance on children or grandchildren. It's a great way to transfer wealth to another generation where you have control over the money and there's no disposition or taxation on you moving that money to them. I think that's great. Another area is, you know, we talked about something called an estate freeze. If you own real estate, there's a way for you to freeze your tax liability and take care of it and pass along the growth to the next generation. Well, with the way the economy is now, it's a great time to consider now doing an estate freeze at the lower amount. Or if you've done an estate freeze already, look at doing a refreeze. There's a way to get out of your existing freeze and do a refreeze. And then there's a whole bunch of planning that we can help people with around that to help maximize those considerations as well. And the last thing really, as I mentioned before, is, you know, really getting that will done. I think that is really the bedrock of all planning. And it's really important that, you know, you get that articulating what you really want to see happen and make sure then that you communicate that to the people that you love so that there's no surprises, because we just went through something very, very serious and very dangerous where we have a realization that in one moment we might not be here anymore. And as a result, we're not going to be able to communicate to our loved ones what we have planned. So I'd say now is the time to do that.
Excellent. Great wrap up. In terms of one last question here, July 1st, the prescribed rate will drop to about 1%. Do you have any strategies in insurance market to take advantage of this?
Well, the prescribed rate is really something that people have to be aware of. And it's not very, very well known. And the way that it works is, you know, taxes can eat away at your savings quickly. So, you know, strategies are available to help reduce that tax burden. And prescribed rate loan is really an income splitting strategy that might be appropriate for your clients. And what it does is it works best when one spouse or partner has significantly higher income that gets taxed at a higher marginal tax rate than the other. Typically, if you gift cash or investments to a spouse or a minor, the income from the investment will be attributed back to the person who made the gift. So a prescribed rate loan is an exclusion to the attribution rules. And this prescribed rate is set every quarter by Canada Revenue Agency and has now been determined that July the 1st, it's going to go down to 1%. So it's a way of you actually going ahead and lending money to a child at a prescribed rate loan, so therefore, or a spouse who's at a lower tax bracket. So you actually, there is going to be an actual transaction of this 1%, but now all the accumulation of the interest and appreciation on those assets is now in the hands of your spouse or child who's clearly at a lower tax, marginal tax rate than you. So it's a beautiful, beautiful way to accumulate wealth, and there's never been a better time for families to use that.
Thank you, Mark. That was very well said. Great summary. For the listeners, if there's anything that piqued your interest, please feel free to reach out to your Sightline advisor. If you don't have one, we'd be happy to speak with you and explore some of these topics in greater detail. Thanks again, Mark.